It's Morning Edition on KUOW 94.9 Seattle. I'm Angela King. Washington state lawmakers are working fast this session to correct the record on a number of issues, including the state's plan to fund long-term care and executive emergency powers. KUOW's Olympia correspondent Austin Jenkins has been hustling along with the latest at the Capitol, and he joins us this morning to break some of this down. Hey there, Austin.
Hello, Angela.
So let's start with the WAW CARES Fund. That's a big issue for lots of folks. The State House voted this week to delay it until the summer of 2023. So fill us in on what's expected to happen or what will be discussed in the meantime.
Yeah, this is the 18-month pause button to make it ready for prime time. And at the same time, start making changes to the program. So already, along with hitting the pause button, the House voted to, for instance, allow people who are nearing retirement age to get partial benefits through this long-term care insurance program. They also are allowing other people to opt out, like military spouses and people who work in Washington but live out of state who wouldn't benefit from the program to get out of the program. But more fundamentally, over the next year and a half, Democrats do have to figure out how to make this thing work financially. You've got about 470,000 people who took advantage of the one-time opt-out last year that allowed people who have a private long-term care insurance policy to exempt themselves from paying into this state-run program. Those tended to be higher income earners, and they represent more than a third of the state's payroll, according to the state actuary. So what's the impact on the solvency of this program to all of those people leaving? They need to figure that out. They also need to look at things like portability, because Angela, right now, if you pay into WAW CARES for your whole career and then retire, say, to Arizona, you lose the benefit.
Right.
There's a Long-Term Care Supports Commission that has recommended some of the changes that are being implemented now. There will be another set of recommendations later this year, and I expect more changes to be made during the 2023 legislative session.
Well, you talk about these changes. Republicans and other critics of the plan want those changes to go even further. So here's what Republican State Representative Drew Stokesbury said this week.
I wish that there was an ability for us to vote on a delay longer than 18 months, a permanent delay. I wish there was an ability for us to engage in robust debate about alternatives.
So, Austin, are Democrats still committed to the plan, or could this law be repealed altogether?
They seem committed. They say this is needed, that the private long-term care insurance market isn't adequate to cover the majority of people, and that the majority of us will need some form of long-term care in our lifetimes. Now, in 18 months, will they look at this and say it's not workable and repeal the whole thing? I suppose you can never rule that out. But at this point, so long as Democrats have the majority, I get the sense that they are committed to staying the course on this one.
Okay. Well, let's turn to what might be a surprising proposal from one of Governor Inslee's fellow Democrats. Senate Democratic Majority Whip Emily Randall has introduced a bill to reform the executive's emergency powers. Randall argues legislators should have a chance to weigh in on the use of these powers. So why is this significant, especially when it's coming from this Democrat in particular?
So emergency powers reform is a drum that minority Republicans have been beating for more than a year now. But it is interesting to see this proposal from Senator Randall pop up. She's a first-term Democrat facing a potentially tough reelection campaign in the 26th legislative district, which encompasses much of the Kitsap Peninsula. The two House members from that district are Republicans, and she faces a challenge this year from one of them. So this bill may be in part a response to the mood of her more conservative district. What's interesting, though, is that several fellow Democrats have signed on, which tells me that as this pandemic wears on, even some in Inslee's own party aren't altogether comfortable with the current breadth and depth of the governor's emergency powers. What's also significant is this bill has been scheduled for a public hearing next week. So the issue of emergency powers reform is going to get some discussion this year, whether this bill or some version of it advances or not.
Okay. You mentioned the pandemic. That brings to mind another issue I want to talk to you about. Lawmakers are considering a proposal to set safe staffing standards for nurses at a time when our hospitals are once again being overwhelmed. Our colleagues at All Things Considered recently spoke with Jane Hopkins, a registered nurse and the executive vice president of SEIU Healthcare, 1199 Northwest. Here's how she explained the need.
Most places and nurses have 5 patients, but with the crisis and the way things are right now, they're asking people to take even more than that, more than 5. And so it's really important that we do have this safe staffing standard, because adding more patients to the nurse's workload. It's literally hurting patients every single day.
So, Austin, flesh out for us exactly what this proposal would do. And can these standards be guaranteed given what we're dealing with right now?
Yeah, that's a great question. So first, a bit of context. Back in 2019, majority Democrats passed a law requiring hospitals to provide uninterrupted meal and rest breaks to nurses and techs. It took about a decade to get that bill through the legislature and passed into law. This year, the sponsor of that bill, State Representative Marcus Riccielli, who's a Spokane Democrat, is back with his staffing bill. There's also a companion measure in the state Senate. This new proposal would build upon and beef up that 2019 law. For instance, the 2019 law provided exemptions to the meal and rest breaks for quote unquote clinical circumstances. This new bill would remove that. And it would also create these minimum staffing standards for specific patient units. For instance, in the emergency department, it would be one nurse to three non-critical patients. Most hospitals would have to implement these minimum staffing standards within 2 years of the law taking effect, and there would be fines and penalties for lack of compliance. But you do raise a really important point, which is how can these standards be guaranteed given COVID, given the staffing crises that hospitals are in? It's so bad the governor is deploying the National Guard.
Right.
Even before COVID, hospitals were having a hard time finding nurses and other staff. So this proposal addresses the concerns of workers, but it clearly doesn't solve that bigger issue of the lack of an adequate pipeline for training up the next generation of healthcare workers and retaining people in this hard profession.
Yeah, most definitely. Well, there's so much to cover in this current legislative session. Anything recently catch your eye?
Well, you know, there's the term talker bills yes. That get a lot of chatter, a lot of talk. So there is the Cash for Lawn Clunkers Act, proposed by Seattle Senator Reuven Carlisle. This has gotten a little bit of attention. The idea is that you could trade in your noisy, polluting, gas-powered lawnmower or leaf blower and get one that is battery-powered. So you could potentially get up to a $200 rebate. And the Department of Ecology is saying they think this might actually be pretty popular with consumers. And I have to say, Angela, I've been eyeing an electric lawnmower that gets very good reviews. My wife has not given me permission to spend $600 on a new battery pack. But what if I could come to her and say, I think I can get it for $400 if I trade in the gas-powered one. Maybe I can make a deal.
All right. KUOW Olympia correspondent Austin Jenkins, thank you for your time.
You're welcome.